I will continue with the last commandments when I return from vacation. Today I want to focus, after a discussion that I had with someone in the church, I just realize again how many of us so often struggle with the fact that, you know, you raise children, but they do not always turn out the way we want them to turn out. And that we also, as God's people, so easily judge other people who fall in sin, while, you know, this place, which is the church, is a place where God reminds us of His absolute grace and how He restored us. So I want to focus on that this morning from the scriptures. We read 2 Kings chapter 21 and also a few verses from 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab king of Israel had done, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." For he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He made his son pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft, and used divination, and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Then he set the carved image of the Asherah that he made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to his own son Solomon, "In the house, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, if only they will observe to do according to all what I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them." But they did not listen, and Manasseh seduced them to do evil more than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. And also from 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 10. "Now the Lord spoke through his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah has done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites did who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they will become as plunder and spoil to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight, and have been provoking me to anger since the day their fathers came from Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin with which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord." Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin which he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son became king in his place. And I apologize, I read further on that was not 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We're going to read from it now. Just verse 10 through 13. "The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them, And they captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. When he was in distress, he entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, he was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem to his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, if we look at this history of Manasseh, we see one thing stands out very clearly, and that is that Manasseh came from what we would typically call a good background. He was raised in a good house. His father, Hezekiah, was a sinner, but nevertheless, he always turned back to the Lord. And even after he acted foolishly with spiritual pride before the Lord, and God's judgments were proclaimed to him by the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah still repented of his sins before the Lord. You can go and read 2 Chronicles chapter 29 through 31, and you will see how much Hezekiah has done to bring God's people back to the old paths. That's how he called it. But Jeremiah was the one to use the expression of the old paths to call people back to the Lord. For instance, he says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls." The old paths were not the old traditional sinful paths, but the paths of the Lord that existed for always, from eternity, basically. Those old paths were the ways of the Lord. And Hezekiah did a lot to bring the people closer to God. He destroyed the idols. He cut down the Asherim. He broke the pillars and destroyed the altars on the high places. He also restored the temple service after cleaning up the temple. And he restored also the celebration of the Passover. And then we read in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 21, "So Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, became king in his place." So Manasseh succeeded Hezekiah, and he was only 12 years old when he started to reign in Jerusalem, and then he also ruled for 55 years. But see then what the Bible says about him. Very clearly, no uncertain terms, the Bible says he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. Where Israel was supposed to be the light to the world, they followed eventually the nations around them. It is difficult to imagine that Hezekiah did not tell his son about God, that he did not tell his son about the wonderful things that God has done in his own life. You know those stories, the history, that God miraculously healed him and extended his life by 15 years. And as a sign that it is true, he also gave that to Hezekiah to move the sun even backwards. So Manasseh had a great spiritual inheritance, but he did not, so it looks like, benefit from it at all. He had believing parents, yet he was just the next generation. And we read that he did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And this is something that still happens today frequently. How often do you hear of children who grew up in such a good family with great believing parents, and the next you know, one of them calls themselves an atheist? When you look at Manasseh, the Bible doesn't give us an answer or an explanation for why Manasseh changed to become so wicked. But that is indeed what happened. Manasseh's sins were considered to be worst of all the kings of Judah, which led to their judgment when they were sent away in exile to strange countries. That is something, if it is worse than all the other kings. The passage listed in 2 Kings 21. All these evil deeds, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 2, he rebuilt altars for Baal. He rebuilt the high places his father had destroyed. He built altars for and worshipped the sun, the moons, and the stars. He put a carved image of the Asherah in the temple. Verse 7, he burned his own son as an offering to the god Moloch in contempt of the seal of circumcision. In verse 6, he seduced the people to do evil. He killed many people right through the country of Judah. According to tradition, he was the one who killed the prophet Isaiah by sawing his body in two. And he practiced witchcraft. He used divination. He practiced sorcery. He dealt with mediums and spiritists. This was a mean guy. This was an evil man. He did not only sin, it was like he has taken sin to the next level. He put altars in the temple of God. That's how much he despised God. Think about it. To build and put a carved image of an idol in God's temple, of which God himself has said, "This is my dwelling place." How was that not defying the God of Israel like a Goliath of old? How was that not prideful, stating, "I can care less about the God of Israel. I will do my own thing and I'll do as I please." Yes, the evil Manasseh did just that. And his wicked leadership had devastating consequences. We read that he misled Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It is said that they did more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before them. This was said about the church. This was said about the people that were supposed to be the light to the world. They were supposed to know better and serve and love the Lord. But that is how far away they were from God. Led by a leader that didn't care. Yes, the king and his people completely turned their back on God. You know, thinking about the church and the conditions in the church and how the church is in at large is not growing. We should also be thankful that in America, it's not the mainstream lifestyle of the nation right now, but we are moving very fast, seems like it, in that direction. You heard the statistics this morning, that the church would only be a third of our population, believers. We must still be thankful and continue to work hard to stand on that which is right and wrong and the truth, and seek for that which is acceptable to the Lord, doesn't matter what the consequences are. So you will agree with me, right, that about Manasseh we can say, what a way to turn out for someone who grew up in a Christian home. You remember how Paul said about his own life, "Here is a trustworthy saying and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." At least Paul grew up as a Pharisee, but this man, he knew better, and yet he turned out as an evil, evil man. And when we hear what this man is, and when we hear what this man did, you might think, what hope could there be for this guy? As I said in the beginning, we are so easy to judge people like Manasseh. We almost wash our hands of them and think, well, you made your bed, buddy. You will have to pay the consequences. And there is some truth to the statement, but let us see what happened in the life of Manasseh. Because clearly God was still not done with this man. The mere fact that God still sent his prophets to this man to hear his word and call him to repentance already was a sign of God's kindness to him. Yet he did not listen. And we need to learn even from this point as well, the fact that God sends people on your path to teach you his word, show God's kindness to you, whether it's a pastor or your parents. You will have to give an account of what you have done with his word and why you have not listened. You might even sit here today or listen over the television. And even though you hear God's word, you could just continue with your life completely untouched by the gospel. But be warned, since Manasseh continued to disobey God, God brought a severe trial over him. We read that. The Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against him, and they captured Manasseh with hooks and took him to Babylon. And you must see that. It was the Lord that has done this. And you must know that the enemy in situations like these were really brutal. Hooks were literally usually put in the noses or in the lips of their captives. And then they had to walk for hundreds and hundreds of miles. I think the total was, we read the other day, was 900 miles, the furthest point that some had to walk to go to their new countries. And they were all chained together. You could just imagine the pain, especially when you try to break out. But then, there while he was in exile, most likely in prison, it's then when he fell in deep distress. And then Manasseh entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. That was the work of God in this man's, in this evil man's life. Pain and humility. It is said about Beza, he was Calvin's successor in Geneva, that he was converted through adversity and pain. He himself said about it, pain was to be to me the gateway to heaven. Now you see, God could use whichever means he pleases to draw us unto himself. Even severe pain could be an instrument in the hand of our sovereign God. That doesn't mean that pain brings forth faith. Some people have that idea, but that is not true. Only God's word and spirit bring forth faith, but God often uses pain and discomfort to break us down and to prepare the way so that his Holy Spirit's work will eventually be real effective in his life. You see, if someone observed Manasseh's life before this happened, I'm sure they would have written him off. And as I said, we so often do the same today. We sometimes think it is not worthwhile to bring the gospel to someone like that. Or it's too late. His idea is shaped and formed. He's set in his lifestyle. He does not belong in our midst. If you think back to the life of the murderer on the cross, we might have thought the same thing about him, right? But God still had a plan for this man. He entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. You see, the language already changed. He entreated the Lord. He humbled himself. Oh, how merciful is our God. The rest of the scriptures teaches that to us. He doesn't want us or anyone to perish. He answers the prayers and forgives the sins of the brokenhearted. The sacrifice, God, you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. We read in Psalm 51. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here we see the mercy of God so clearly. A lost sinner cried out to God, and God was moved by his prayer and answered him. You know, to humble yourself is literally a military term. Someone who is out of line, get himself in line again and places himself under the authority of his superiors. 1 Peter chapter 5 says so clearly, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Yes, to humble yourself is to come to the Lord and to say, Lord, I cannot do this anymore. I need you. It is to place yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he and not you will protect you, that he will lead you, that he will guide you every day in your life. It is to give up the great I and to submit to the great I am, the Almighty and eternal God and Father through Jesus Christ the Lord. It is to realize as a David, Lord, I have sinned against you and you alone. Yes, that humbleness is a significant part of repentance. In our pride, we so often think, we got it made. I don't know with what heart's attitude you come to worship this morning. Perhaps you did not even prepare yourself. Perhaps you take it for granted that you could be here. Perhaps you think you deserve to come in the presence of God. Or perhaps you are heavily burdened with your sins and guilt and shame. Perhaps you feel, how could God ever forgive me for all the terrible things that I have done in my life? And sometimes you feel good about it, but sometimes He just come back and distort you and distress you. Or perhaps you feel, God gave me so many chances in life, but I don't use it. Why would He listen to me now? Let me plead then with you this morning and say, don't waste another day to wonder about it. Tomorrow could be too late. Hebrews says so clearly in chapter 4, 7, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. It is never too late to pray. It is never too late to humble yourself before God. It is never too late to repent. If God in His mercy could save him and Manasseh, He could also save you. And for you who are saved already, I hope you are, after all these years, still surprised, still amazed that God has saved you. Because no sin is too big for our merciful God to forgive. And I trust and hope that we will not look at those who sinned and judge them and write them off. If God could have saved us, He could save and restore anyone else. Why? Because He forgives for the sake of His own beloved Son. Jesus took upon Himself the sins of the Manassas of this world, which includes all my and your despicable sins. Who are we then to hold their sins against them? Yes, he died so that you and I and everyone who believes in him could stand before God free and forgiven and can sing, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked look to thee for dress, hopeless to thee for grace. Look to thee for grace, fell I to the mountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." If you feel your sins and guilt again this morning, flee to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And do not forget the Manassas of this world. I want to make this side note, because the Scripture says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Unlike the way many preach this passage, I want you to hear this morning that it is not a promise. It is not a promise to parents, but an instruction. It is not a word that allows you to tap yourself on the shoulder when your child turns out well and to say then, "Look what I have accomplished." There are ample examples in life and in Scripture where parents have raised their children in the fear of the Lord, yet they have lived wicked lives. Manasseh is not the example I want to use, because by God's grace, what happened, we saw how he came back from his wicked ways and humbled himself before the Lord. Manasseh saw a lifetime of obedience in the life of Hezekiah, his father, but wasted 55 years of his life in wickedness before he repented. No, I want to use the example of Manasseh's son, Amon. Amon, 2 Kings 21, 19, 22, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it says, so he forsook the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. So parents, remember, your children are born in sin. They do not come into this world as innocent beings. So be faithful to God's calling and raise them in the fear of the Lord. Ask yourself daily, what do they see in my life? What do they hear from my lips? Remember, they have received the sign of God's covenant promises. But children, young people, you must listen also. You might have Christian parents. They might have raised you in the fear of the Lord, but you will stand before the Lord yourself one day. Because God's covenant demands from you faith in Jesus Christ. Your parents cannot believe for you. You must work hard to listen to their teaching. You also have to come to the point where Manasseh was, and that is that you know your own sin and turn to the Lord and acknowledge that the Lord is God. If God could save him, if God could save us, he could save anyone. And God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we bring you praises that you are a merciful God. We thank you, Lord, that we could be reminded of this truth again this morning in our own lives, that it's all by your grace that we've been saved through faith. Oh, Lord, would you... You know our concerns about loved ones. Would you draw them unto yourself? Let us never give up on the Manassas of this world. Let us always make this church family a safe haven for those who have truly repented of their sins. And if they haven't, let us continue to minister to them in love. Father, we pray all of these in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing our last hymn. Jim, what was that number?
435.
Sorry, the number is wrong. If you want to follow in the bulletin, 435. God of grace and God of glory.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thine ancient church in history, bring her bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. Cure thy children's warring madness, bend our pride to thy control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Set our feet on lofty places, gird our lives that they may be armored with all Christ-like graces in the fight to set men free. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, that we fail not men nor thee.
Receive God's blessing and go from here in peace. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you, Kendra.
Sorry, my brain and my fingers went to be another G, so I'm
it's
so
okay.
Sorry. I don't know
We're
what
fine.
That was.
It was barely noticeable. So.
Yeah. That's my day every day. Is it?
Yeah. They just didn't connect. Yikes.
My brain sometimes makes up non-existent letters.